The following program is a paid production of Mike Novak, LLC. The opinions, rants, confessions, and lame jokes presented are not necessarily the views of WCPT or its parent corporation, NewsWeb Radio.
Trample a guy on a Tuesday afternoon, you get charged with assault. But do it at a Walmart on Black Friday, you get a PS4. But this year, something about Black Friday is twisting everyone's panties.
Black Friday itself is turning into an entire season.
Do I hope Black Friday ends? Absolutely. I can't stand that day.
The event is becoming so long.
Starting Black Friday on Thanksgiving should be illegal.
Black Wednesday.
Great Thursday.
Small Business Saturday.
Cyber Monday is the worst thing I've ever heard.
We might as well call it Black November.
What the hell are you complaining about? Oh, no. Now blenders are on sale for a whole month. God, why have thou forsaken us? Nobody's forcing you to buy anything. You can shop. You cannot shop. You can do what we Jews do and wait until the day after Christmas when they're practically giving away.
From the Little Brick Building on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a quiche's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's the Mike Novak Show, the country's best deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every week and broadcast from the studios of WCPT, AM and FM, Chicago.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing, breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is sponsored by Locally Laid Egg Company. Because local chicks are better. Go to locallylaid.com. And by Attack of the Killer Asparagus, the funniest book about gardening you will ever read. Go to aroundtheblockpress.com. He didn't invent the word green, he just copyrighted it, which means that every time you use the word green, you owe him a nickel. You got change for a 50? Here he is, Mike Novak.
Get ready, Helen. Ouch. This is really loud. One more time. It's very loud in one ear here because the other side doesn't work. So, you know, this is a really, really... You got something there, Denny? You want to swap these out? Okay, let's try that. Swap it out, baby. Oh, these are the fancy schmancy headphones.
Yeah, buddy.
Where'd you get those?
Productions.
Are these Dick Kay's headphones?
No. He takes those home.
He takes his own home?
He
brings his own in.
Smart man.
Yeah, I really should too. You don't know where these, what ears these have been on. And what other things might
both
be.
Both work though?
Yeah, both sides work.
Booyah.
How about that? Both All sides right. work. Woohoo!
Nothing like a good Lewis Black rant in the morning.
Oh, I love Lewis Black.
Gotta love it.
And, You called attention to the fact that...
I said, I know why. I can see the similarities.
The similarities between me and Lewis Black?
Not a surprise. I wasn't floored by that information.
That guy is so angry. What's he got to do with me? You know, you're not supposed to start off Sunday mornings. You know, traditionally, Sunday morning programs are, hi, we're going to talk today about birds. Did you know that a billion birds fly into buildings every year? You know, stuff like
You
that.
Went dark, like, right
I know, right? As I go dark.
Complete.
Do you know that five...
You can't even keep
100 million birds are killed by feral cats every year.
Hey,
and non-feral cats.
Too,
what?
Cats gotta eat too, man.
Whoa.
It's a jungle out there.
It is. It's a jungle in radio, too. Yeah, so Lewis Black... Friday. This is Black Friday. Okay. Let's, you know, we talked about that last week. And I love the fact that Lewis Black is doing something on Black Friday.
Yeah. That probably just makes him angrier.
They co-opted his name.
Yeah, how dare you?
I've had this name for 60 years. And he's pointing his finger and he's doing that little thing he does with
shaking
his
a little
finger.
Yeah.
Here's the word, folks.
This Friday is Black Friday. Now, I'm with Louis Black if he's mad that they call it Black Friday. It's just a Friday. It's like, okay, it's like the Weather Channel.
But, like, even the name Black Friday sounds ominous.
It
sounds
it does.
Like something out of, like, Game of Thrones. Like, it's Black Friday and the crows descend, you know.
And if I'm a black person, I resent it, okay? I really do at that point. You know,
yeah,
but I'm as white as they come, so there's not much I can do about that. It's hard for me to have indignation about that, personal indignation that about it.
Actually,
maybe if they called it White Friday. I'd be, oh, how could you call this White Friday? How could you call it White Friday?
I don't know, man.
Where did I
when you're white, it's like, go ahead and rip on me because we have it coming.
Because we can do anything.
Yeah.
We can do anything
yeah,
at all
I
with
mean,
impunity. We
like,
can get away
shoot,
with anything.
Like shoot young black teenagers, for example.
Don't even go down that road. We're not
Ooh.
Talking that. You know, they talk about that enough on this station. It's not going to be on this show. It is not going to happen on this show. We got our own issues to deal with here. And it's not because I've got issue. That's Wayne Besson's deal. Just give him a ding. No, it's because we talk other stuff here. And consumption, conspicuous consumption, is one of the deals on my program. You know what I did yesterday? I'm so proud of myself.
What?
I turned down a swag bag. Ha! I did. We were caroling the Frozen Robins, and I'm going to talk about that in just a second because the Frozen Robins are back. Actually, I'm going to start playing some carols in the next few weeks. Frozen Robins doing Mike Novak's goofy holiday carols, destroying your favorite holiday songs, twisting them into unrecognizable shapes. Anyway, so we were caroling yesterday at the Randolph Street Market, which is like a flea market that they have every year for the holidays, where there's all kinds of stuff, but at least it's being resold, which is a good thing, better than new stuff. So there's not new stuff there. It's resold stuff. And I got offered some deal that was there, some company, and I'm not going to name. Offered me a swag bag. And I just said no. I said, nope, that's my new philosophy, no swag. Do not offer me a swag bag. I will not take it. Ha! Huh. And you know what? It's a clear view up here on the moral high ground. It's just, I can see forever.
You're an American hero.
Which will last about 30 seconds until I say something really stupid and then go back into the gully.
Too late.
Into the gutter. I think you're right. I've already been down that road.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. It's Sunday morning and it's warm. Oh, that's the other thing.
Oh, it's nice. I like it out there.
Oh, my goodness. Can we just hold on to this for a few more months? You know, like
yeah,
till April.
I
of course, but then that would be back to the old pattern, which was the winters are getting warmer. And, you know, it's all connected. Rick DeMaio and I had a really interesting conversation the other day. He and I are actually going to do a talk together. This is really scary. Rick DeMaio and me on the same stage in January for
it's going to be
at the Chicago Botanic Garden. Save a Tree, which is a wonderful company and now part of the Mike Novak Referral Network, and I hope all of you go to that page on my website, invited me to speak. And I said, you know what? Let's bring Mr. DeMaio as well. So the two of us are going to do a little tag team thing. That ought to be interesting. But I'm really looking forward to it. So he and I got in a conversation the other day about this because we were talking about it. And, of course, it turned to Buffalo and what was going on there and how this is all connected. And, you know, and then you've got your morons out there. And if you do say this, you are a moron, okay?
Oh, what happened to global warming? There's
all this snow in Buffalo. You say that, you're a moron. You don't even have to say it like that. You're a moron. So we got that, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So Rick DeMaio at 9:45, as always. In the first hour of the show, Veronica Porter, she's a food entrepreneur. And there are 1, 2, 3 R's in entrepreneur. She is the founder of something called Ask Aunt V. Some of you might say Ask Aunt V. Are you an aunt or an aunt thing?
My aunt insisted on aunt.
Did she?
Mine was an English teacher.
So? Mean anything.
So she...
Aunt is quite fine. It's quite acceptable. That's the way I grew up.
I'm not going to argue with my aunt.
But you're... Oh. It doesn't sound pretentious. My aunt.
Mike, you know that I respect my elders.
Not me. Other than me, is that what you're saying?
No comment.
I'm gonna go into a Lewis Black rant here in a second. By the way, getting back to Black Friday before I go back to this, don't shop. Don't leave the house.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Not worth it.
No, do not go out on Thanksgiving. I offer you the same warning, not that anybody really cares, but the same warning that
I'm sorry, if you're leaving your table
to go shopping
6 or 5, yeah, to go shop and make some poor sap work Thanksgiving night.
Well, they're going to work anyway, unfortunately.
I can't say on the radio.
See, now you're starting to turn into me. That's not a good sign. But I'm with you there. It's like, if you shop on Thanksgiving, if you shop on Black Friday, I don't want to. It's like with the voting thing and all the people who didn't vote. Why don't we do the same thing with Black Friday this year that we did with voting this year? Don't show up. Wouldn't that be cool if 2/3 of the people who usually are on Black Friday don't show up?
This is where you're going to get me off on some other tangents, man.
Well, but it's the same thing. It's like, you didn't want to vote, so don't shop.
No, but see...
What's the difference to you guys? See, now I'm all... All excited and stuff. I got to calm down.
Right. I don't know. I think some people just don't care.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Sunday Morning with Mike. Today, we'll be playing some really calming music. In fact, go into Downward Dog right now. Just stretch. There you go. All right. Veronica Porter's on the show in just a couple of minutes. She's the food entrepreneur behind Ask Aunt V, which includes Aunt V's Cafe, What's for Dinner, and a series of cooking classes. Her model is really interesting. She's out in Naperville, which is interesting to start, putting healthy food together. Not that you can't eat healthy food in the suburbs, but the way she's doing it is really cool. I'm looking forward to talking to her. Rick DeMaio, weather at 9:45 in the second hour, and it's really interesting. I just noticed that my buddy Mike Bryson at Roosevelt University, who started the was one of the co-founders of the Sustainability Studies Department there, along with Carl Zimmering, just took some of the stuff I posted last night on my website and put it on his blog about Ileana Tollway, which is like, well, it's still out there lurking. It's not quite like Glenn Close, who jumps out of the bathtub in Fatal Attraction, because it was never really dead to begin. It's still there. We have a new governor. Are we going to have Ileana? Because Pat Quinn really wanted it badly, he and IDOT. What does the new governor say? Well, pretty much the same thing he said on all the issues before the election. Nothing. And that'll get you elected every time, folks. I'm going to try that when I run. Just don't say anything about anything. And so I'm going to have Erica Dodd from the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club, Judy Ogala, who's a Will County board member from District 1. And this is interesting because if you went to the CMAP hearings in October where they voted on this, it seemed like every official got up to say, we need jobs, we need Ileana. Like they had a little button and they were programmed to say, we jobs, jobs, jobs. Judy Ogala from Will County disagrees. And Eli Geis, the mayor of Simmerton, also disagrees. So we'll talk about that in the second hour, and we may get another a couple of cool things in there. All right, and right before we go to Veronica, I want to repeat some stuff I talked about last week. Thanking the people who have gone to the Mike Novak Referral Network, the hundreds of people who have done that, like the people who like me and who support my show. As I mentioned earlier, one of the people there is Save a Tree, and they are certified arborists. They are the tree and shrub care company, and they have invited me and now Rick DeMaio to speak at the Chicago Botanic Garden in the spring. Their website is www.saveatree.com, S-A-V-A-T-R-E-E. You got tree service and shrub care, lawn care services, and organic tree and lawn programs among my favorites. So I hope you will check them out because they are supporting me, and I'm going to try to highlight a person or a business on the Mike Novak Referral Network.
Mike, is that URL actually .net or .com? Because I'm
saying which one?
.net. Saveatree.net. Is that it?
No, Saveatree is .com.
Okay.
Saveatree is .com. What I think you're referring to is my website, which is .net. MikeNovak.net. MikeNowak.
Oh, Sava Tree?
Sava.
Okay.
TREE.com.
Cool.
Go to the referral network. It's right on the homepage. It just says right there in big, bold, red letters, brand new, the Mike Novak Show Referral Network. And I want to thank the folks who are supporting the Mike Novak Show. And folks have done it. And they've been going to that page, too. And like I said, it's to keep the show on the air because I am independent. I do not work for this station. I work for me, which makes it a little harder because I got to get the advertisers and support the show myself. So I can use your help to stay on the air. Go to support the Mike Novak Show right on the homepage, right at the top. Click on that. And if you're interested, you can send a few bucks my way. Like I said, it's like a political thing. You're not going to get a tax break on it. But the satisfaction of knowing you're keeping me on the air, if that interests you at all, and you get to hear me rant like Lewis Black occasionally on Sunday mornings.
If you're still listening at this point, you know you love this.
If you're still listening, if you haven't switched over to the on the other station across the dial. And there's a lot to listen to in Chicago. It's called the big market for a reason. Major market radio. So for those of you who are here, gosh, I appreciate it. I really do. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your support. Do that if you get a chance. All right. Later on, I'm going to talk about the Frozen Robins. We're back this year, my caroling group. We got a bunch of things, gigs coming up at places that you know about, like the Morton Arboretum and the Chicago Botanic Garden and Chicago Fire TV show. Yep. I know the date of the episode that we're going to be in. Will we be on for more than 3 seconds? Who knows? Will we be on for 3 seconds at all? Who knows? All right. Let's get to Veronica Porter in just a second. Welcome to another episode, first of all, of Busting Garden Myths, brought to you by former University of Illinois Extension educator Greg Stack and Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Myth number two. I did a myth several weeks ago. I'm doing some more today. Myth number two. I can't grow stuff under my pine or spruce trees because they make the soil too acidic. Nope. It's mainly the roots of the trees that are out-competing the plants. And you can read more about it at Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Myth number four. Ants, and not aunts, but ants as in A-N-T-S, And you really do pronounce those ants, or in Chicago, ants. Ants are needed to help peony buds open. Nope. You silly people, you. They just like the sugary substance that peonies produce. I always say the ants are the innocent bystanders. They get blamed for everything. Whatever, you know. I got ants. Oh, my gosh, they're taking my tree down. No, they're not. They're just there taking advantage of the fact that your tree is rotting. Myth number 11. Adding alcohol to the water will keep paper whites from getting tall and leggy. That's actually true. A 4-6% solution of hard liquor, and what a waste of hard liquor, results in plants that are about 1/3 shorter. I did not know that. Okay, myth number 37. Santa put me on his naughty list for my annual column on the Inside Back Page that makes fun of Christmas carols. Nope. But he did lose my address on purpose. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Pick one up in newsstands all over town. Get a subscription or give one this holiday season. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. We will talk to Veronica Porter in 60 seconds.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
This is Mike Novak. Enjoy local food all winter long at Winter Farmers Markets, hosted by 15 different Chicago faith congregations on select Saturdays and Sundays from November through March. Your purchase of local sustainably produced food helps support regional farmers. The markets are organized by Faith in Place, a nonprofit that inspires people of diverse faiths to care for the earth through connection, education, and advocacy. Go to faithinplace.org and click on Winter Farmers Markets for a schedule and to learn more.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
Here we go to the phones. And let's bring in Veronica Porter. Veronica, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing today?
Well, it's warm. Rick DeMaio will be here later to tell us that it's going to get cold again, unfortunately. But you must be enjoying that, too, this morning.
I sure am. Thank you very much. I living in Chicago, every morning's a different weathercast, but that's what keeps it exciting, huh?
And every morning over 50 degrees is a blessing, as
yes,
we
is.
Say. And that's as close as I'm going to get to being religious on Sunday morning. I met Veronica at a meeting of Good Greens at the USDA Midwest Food and Nutrition Service. Alan Shannon runs the Good Greens program, and he's always bringing in interesting people and getting people to bring their products and bring their ideas and bring their organizations and spread the good word of healthy eating and nutritious food. Alan, great stuff. I'm glad you do that. I met you because I don't even know how we got to talking. You did a presentation, didn't you, at that meeting?
I was attending a meeting, and I haven't done a presentation there to this point, but I agree with you. Alan does a great job of gathering together like-minded people and really emphasizing the importance of local food, getting people to eat, organic, sustainable food, using sustainable methods. So it's always really wonderful to meet the different people that attend those meetings. And because it's a 7-state region, you get some really diverse ideas.
Yeah.
And some great information.
I almost feel like he's a mole there in the USDA. You know, he's like the fifth column there working at the USDA, making sure that people get healthy and nutritious food and that, you know, a lot of these small organizations are heard, and the good, and the good work that they're doing. So good for you, Alan Shannon. And then I found about, you have this program, this business called Ask Aunt V, and it and it's an umbrella organization for Aunt V's Cafe, What's for Dinner, and a series of cooking classes that you have. Now, let's talk about the cafe first before we get to what's for dinner, because I think the What's for Dinner sort of flows out of Aunt V's Cafe, right?
That's right. I just really felt it was important to have a place where people could come to get food that was, you know, homemade, made from scratch, made that day, that was, you know, provided with local, sustainable, and seasonal and organic. And I try to hit all those three things, local, organic, and seasonal. But obviously, there's certain things like avocado and pineapples. They're not local, but I do try to get them organic. So I really try to focus on that, and that's why every morning I go to the market, find out what is the best produce that's available, and then create a daily special that is available throughout the day and is included in What's for Dinner. And What's for Dinner is...
Well, let's hold off on that for a second, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, because let's talk about Aunt V's Cafe, because the point is you're making how many dishes per day at Aunt V's?
I really try to focus on a daily special, and then I have different sides that are available.
So it's basically one dish, right?
Correct. That's how I can keep costs down.
Right. And it seems to me that's a very smart way to go about it, because it's going to be a different dish every day. So it's not like you're going to come back tomorrow and eat the same thing. It allows you to curb costs and focus on the meal at hand. And you're open how many days a week at Aunt V's?
I'm open Monday through Friday.
Okay, so it's 5 days a week, and the address is 1836 Freedom Drive in Naperville. What's that near?
That's right near the exit. It's by Deal Road. It's by the Marriott Hotel, Freedom Drive, which is a series. That's the exit off of the of I-88 into Naperville, and there's a series of restaurants leading into the, what they called the technical corridor.
Right. You know, actually, I know where that is. I drove there. Now that you say it, I remember I drove there recently. I had a deal out there in Naperville Way, and I came right around there. And you're open for lunch and then open for dinner. Is that how that works?
That's correct.
And what are the hours?
I'm open from 12 to 2 for lunch, and then 5 to 7 for dinner.
Okay. So that's Aunt V's Cafe. Now we've got What's for Dinner. This is really this is really cool. I'm sorry. I don't know if I've ever heard of this model before. It's possible somebody else is doing it and I just hadn't heard about it. Is this a model that you've heard of before? Or did you invent this?
Well, to answer that question, honestly, I came up with the idea, but that doesn't mean someone else in the world has.
No, that's okay. It's, you know, it's like, you know, the scientists will invent the same or discover the same thing. Somebody's in France and somebody's in the U.S., and then they take joint credit for it. That's how that works.
Exactly. So if somebody else is doing it, I'm just not aware of it at this point.
And the way it works is that you order your dinner, so you're not – you can actually go to Aunt V's and pick it up. All right. So say you're a busy working person. You're a mom. You got a job. You got to feed your kids. You want them to eat healthy. You want your husband to eat healthy. You're a husband. You want your wife to eat healthy. And so you order through Aunt V's. And what Aunt V does is go down to the train station. This, I assume this is the Metra.
Correct. It's the Naperville stop.
The Naperville stop on the Metra. She's got the time your train's coming in and standing there with hot food ready to go. It is hot, I assume.
Yes, it is hot.
Okay.
All you need to do is take it home, open it up, and put it on the dinner table for dinner. You can even pretend and put it on a plate and act like you made it yourself. I won't be insulted.
I like that. Oh man, I slaved over a hot stove all day long. No, I slaved over a hot stove on the train. Oh my goodness, there was a line to get to that hot stove on the train.
whatever works.
And are they all individual portions, or you do family portions? How does that work?
I have both options. I have you can each have individual portions, but then I do have a family meal. It basically would feed a family of four, you know, and then probably have either a midnight snack or maybe somebody could have lunch the next day. All of the portions are based on the USDA plate of 6 ounces of protein, 6 ounces of healthy carb, and then 12 ounces of fruits and vegetables.
And as you say, it's to the best of your ability, locally sourced, seasonal, and organic.
Correct.
That is
made from scratch that day.
And made from scratch that day. So I have to ask you, how many meals are you cranking out in a day right now?
To port delivery, I'm at approximately 20 people, 20 meals, I should say. And then at the cafe, I am probably doing about the same. It varies, obviously, based on the day. But so I'm hitting about 40 and approaching 50. And I'm very, very comfortable with that number.
Yeah, but now you're going to get the Mike Novak bump, and you're going to have to deal with that.
That's great.
That's not so bad. Do you cook them all yourself? Do you have a staff?
Right now, I'm cooking them all myself. I do have people that help me, obviously, with the customer service end of it, but I really like to have that personal touch. I like to have the personal touch with the food I make, just to make sure it's got the consistency I want, and then I really like dealing with the customers. Like when somebody orders a meal, they give me a cell phone or a contact number so that I can either, you know, text them or call them, whichever they're most comfortable with, and really get to have a chance to have some personal interaction. If they're a new time customer and I've never met them, I'm at the train, you know, they'll say, you know, we'll kind of talk about how I'll recognize them. And, you know, it's just kind of we're kind of creating a little bit of community here. And I really like that.
I love the idea of people meeting you at the train. There's Anthony, yeah. Hi. Do you have my meal for, do you have dinner
exactly.
for me? Oh my goodness.
Exactly. It is. In fact, you know, part of the thing that I think that I didn't anticipate, but that has been the most gratifying is people, you know, coming and telling me about their day and, oh, this is so great. You don't believe the day I had, or, you know, something wonderful happened, or, you know, they're starting to tell, you know, it's just really, really wonderful. And having, you know, so I really appreciated that kind of involvement as well.
That is great. And when you order these, you can find all this information on my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. If you want to go straight to Ask Aunt V, that is PorterPresentations.com. And you'll see Ask Aunt V on there, but it's PorterPresentations.com/ask-aunt-v. So it's easier just to click on my site, because I got it right there. You can even click right on what's for dinner, and you've got these drop down boxes. So you got the week's menu there, Monday through Thursday. Right. What's for dinner is only Monday through Thursday. Friday, you can handle it yourself.
Correct. Well, the thing is that really, yeah, most people on Friday, it's like, hey, you know, I'm going to go out and meet with friends or whatever. So for the train delivery, yes, the what's for dinner is Monday through Thursday. But at the cafe, I do still have it on Friday. And also just to make it a little easier for your listeners, first of all, I encourage them to go definitely on your site and click through, but they can just type in askantv.com and it'll take them right to that page.
Oh, there you go. So go ahead and bypass my page. It's not going to hurt my feelings.
No. I would like them to see what you've got going on.
That's just fine, Veronica. Just fine. No, I'm cool with that. But you go there and it's got the week's menu. So I'm looking at Monday. This week's menu, does it mean starting tomorrow?
Correct.
All right. Meatloaf, mashed potatoes with green beans. Tuesday, roasted chicken, organic corn with, I assume, non-GMO corn, right?
Exactly.
Which would
definitely.
Be, that's
don't
the definition.
I don't corn doesn't exist except unless it's GMO.
Right. Roasted chicken, organic corn with beans, salsa, polenta with salad. Wednesday, Asian chopped chicken salad with Vietnamese spring rolls. And then Thursday, tacos, three bean corn salsa toppings and greens. And then you go down, you click on, you've got the quantity, and one meal's $10. It's $9.95, you know. That is really reasonable. And the train arrival time, which is what I love there too. You click on that. So there's the 5 o'clock arrives at 5:32. The 5:22 arrives at 5:54. What does that mean? 5 o'clock arrives at 5:32.
Well, at first I had the arrival times of trains, and I've been a commuter. Well, I was a commuter for several years, and it started dawning on me. I knew I took the 4:44. I knew I took the 5:32, but I didn't really know what time it arrived.
Ah.
And then I started to think, well, you know, maybe if I put them on both, you know, when you get on the train and kind of give you an idea when you're going to arrive. So I kind of covered both ends of the spectrum.
And, you know, that's a good idea because people are spacey. They're dopey. They really are. And then you have the cell phone number there. And the thing I love about it is that somebody can text you and go, oh, Aunt V, I'm running late. I missed the 5 o'clock train. I'm going to be on the 5:22, right?
Right. Correct.
I love that idea. That's just so cool. That's pretty funny.
Well, it is. And the other thing I've had, too, is that people have contacted me en route on the train and said, I just found out my sister's coming over for dinner. Can I have another meal or something like that? So all those types of things, like I said, life, I wanted to make it an experience that is real life, so to speak. And, you know, things happen suddenly.
Yeah.
I've had people say that, you know what, I just found out my aunt sister's not coming. I only eat two meals. So,
They could save it. They could put it in the fridge. Come on.
Well, yeah, they could. In fact, a lot of times it's been the follow-up text. It's like, you know what, I'll save it for tomorrow. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
What I got to ask you is, how far is the restaurant from the train station there? How long does it take you to get from the restaurant to the train station?
Well, I was blessed with a really great location where I have it. If, as the bird flies, you know, we're talking about maybe a mile, mile and a half, but I chose the location partly based on transportation, and I am really just about five minutes with green lights, about 7 or 8 without them, away from it, the train station.
But I imagine that you guys are just making that circle back and forth to get those dinners mm-hmm. there, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a little crazy between 5 o'clock and 6:47.
Luckily, I have a background in operations, and the logistics of it were a determining factor in how I arrange things.
And the other thing that's part of your empire, your cooking empire, are the cooking classes. And if folks want to learn how to make some of these dinners, you have various classes that they can sign up for. And I'm noticing that I put the wrong link. Well, see, now they got to go to your site because I clicked on cooking classes and I got what's for dinner. So I'll have to fix that on my website. But still, they go to your website and you can type in askauntv.com and it'll take you to all of this. And how much are the cooking classes and when do you have them?
They're $40 a piece. And I have them right now. I'm having them every Monday night. I also have them starting just by demand, or considering I'm going to see what the demand is on Wednesday nights and maybe Saturday mornings. I believe that cooking technique is what people need to learn, not another recipe, because I can have all the recipes. I could have a wall of cookbooks and not know how to use any of them. So what I do is it's really hands-on. People come to the class. I, you know, show them from the basics all the way through, you know, proper washing techniques, how to cut properly, knifing skills, knife skills. You know, they create, not necessarily always a meal, but some dishes, sometimes a meal, sometimes appetizers. And then, if they bring their own containers, they're welcome to take any of the, you know, we all eat together and then they can take the leftovers home. So it's a really nice class. I've really had a lot of response, positive response, you know, in return, students, because it's just kind of fun. Again, I like to make things fun. I don't have, but I think learning is fun. I was blessed with parents that had, you know, encourage the lifelong learning. Yeah, and they just, and so that's just what I like to do. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that for the holidays, one of the things that I just want to, I don't want to really plug these classes, but the...
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, I'm doing it. Vegan and gluten, vegan, gluten-free, and lactose-free appetizer sides, and what would, could initially be a main course. A lot of times, even if you don't have those types of dietary restrictions over the holidays, you might have visitors that are. Mm-hmm. And you don't, you want to make sure your guests get the proper, you know, the food that, that'll, they think, you know, they have to obviously sure. meet without any kind of concerns. So that is my focus for the holidays. So we'll be having a couple. I mean, I have a chocolate pudding that is lactose vegan and lactose free vegan and gluten free that I like actually better than any other chocolate pudding myself now. So there's, you know, and then there's just different appetizers. And a lot of the things that we eat, it's, a lot of people think that those dietary restrictions might mean, you know, that maybe the taste profile or the nutrition profile isn't, you know, don't match. And I really try to make it so that you wouldn't even know that you're eating something that has.
Well, that's always the goal, Veronica, but it doesn't always work. So, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes, exactly.
So that's, I hope people will take advantage of that. But finally, I only have a couple of minutes here. I want to talk about Victory Farms. This is your latest, greatest plan. And you're trying to put together farms in the area. To what end?
Well, I'm starting with one, but I would love to start a network of them, as you say. I have a, there's a small farm, a working farm in Naperville, a 15-acre farm, and the purpose of the farm is not only to make it a, make organic produce available for the local community, but also for the people working at the farm to include veterans who are returning with traumatic brain injuries and PTSD, as well as high-functioning individuals who might have a hidden disability, because I really feel that that's a portion of the population that really, really gets missed as far as services that are available. And I think that with our veterans, we can wave the flag, we can have all kinds of special holidays for them, but we really need to give them a job.
Yeah.
And that it's been proven that working the land is one of the best forms of therapy for TBI and PTSD. And it may, you know, it may become a lifelong. I'm working with the University of Illinois Extension to create a fellowship so that if they would choose to continue in the food industry career, that we can make that happen. But even if it just gives them the time and a purpose to reintegrate with into civilian life, I think that's something that we as a society really need to do for our returning men and women veterans.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I've talked about that on the show. I had Alicia Moore and Sarah Creech from Blue Yonder Organic Farm in Indiana earlier this year, and they're doing the same thing. They're veterans who are starting their farm. They're part of the Homegrown by Heroes Network. I actually have a link to that on my website, too. And you hope to connect with Homegrown by Heroes, right?
Well, yes, I've met with them a couple times, and I want to tell you, I really was thrilled to see Blue Yonder Farms on your website, and really hope I'm planning to connect with them because I like love what they're doing. Yes, Homegrown by Heroes has started in Kentucky and now Illinois and Indiana and other states are connecting with it, and that's really to create veteran farms that you know. That they use that logo, that we're trying to make increase awareness to the American public that when you're buying your produce, when you're buying, you know, your food items, that you, if you're not only creating jobs, you're keeping the money at home, and you're giving, you know, people who have fought for our country a purpose and, you know, a way of life. So I think yeah. it's just a win-win all the way around.
That's fabulous. Well, I hope that works out for you. For folks, again, who are interested, they can go online to askatv.com and all that information. Not about the farm yet. That's still in the works, but I wanted to talk about that. But the restaurant, you can find out about Aunt V's Cafe, about what's for dinner, get your meal delivered to you at the train by Aunt B. I mean, Aunt V. Yeah.
yeah. Aunt V. You were talking about ants before. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Now, are you an aunt or an aunt?
You know, I'm from I was born and raised in the Chicago area, and that's Aunt.
It's Aunt.
I'm Aunt V.
Aunt.
And it's Veronica. It's for Veronica. All the V names start with a V and end with an A, so V was easier. But it goes with Victory, so I'll take it. But it's the Chicago tilt.
And, of course, you can go to my website, MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show, and all that information is there, too. It's really easy. Veronica, wonderful talking to you. Now I got to get out there and try a meal. I think I'm going to have to come in on the train just so you can greet me. Whoa! We lost her. What happened there? Well, that's a rude way to say goodbye. She just disappeared all of a sudden.
I don't know. I might have hit something, but I'm
not that's
sure.
Okay. Bye, Aunt V. Goodbye, Aunt V.
In the green room.
You dig.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I have exciting news to share. Natural Awakening, Chicagoland's only monthly magazine dedicated to healthy and green living, is now available throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Natural Awakening features articles about fitness, local food and drink, healthy kids and families, even healthy pets. We also cover gardening and environment, sustainable building, energy conservation, and green living. We include local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that in each month's issue, you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a new business in your neighborhood, or something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Captain's log, stardate 42326.1. The Enterprise is under attack by an apparently hostile life form. Mr. Worf, status report.
They appear to be perambulating vegetables. We are being stalked by stalks of asparagus.
That is incorrect, Mr. Worf.
Mr. Data, be more specific.
Asparagus officinalis, or killer asparagus, was the subject of a very popular 21st century tome by the brilliant author Mike Novak.
Mike Novak. I'm familiar with his work.
Of course. Attack of the Killer Asparagus is required reading at Starfleet Academy.
Tell me more, Mr. Data.
He has been variously compared to Mark Twain, Dave Barry, and Gwynock of Ningladore.
Captain, shields are failing.
Thank you, Mr. Worf. Mr. Data, options.
Captain, it seems to be available online at aroundtheblockpress.com.
Aroundtheblockpress.com. What do they have to say?
It appears that Mike Novak is a slapstick every gardener, taking all our self-delusions, mishaps, and confusions and playing them for big laughs.
That's not very helpful, Mr. Data.
No, it is, however, highly accurate.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Sing along, Rick.
Back in the USSR.
And here is comrade Rick DeMaio.
I didn't know I ever left.
I didn't either. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, you do leave from time to time to go various places, do various things.
Yeah, that's true. Wasn't it a nice short winter we had, Mike?
Yeah, I'm so glad it's over.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, here and 36 hours and counting with the temperature above freezing feels great.
It's I can't tell you. It's just it's wonderful.
Amazing. It's amazing what the cold does to the brain cells, huh?
Oh, it freezes them. You know? It just freezes them.
Don't you feel like we were assaulted the last week and a half?
Yeah. And part of the problem is when you don't have a chance to get acclimated. You know, certainly by January, you go, okay, we're used to this. Right. You got to bundle up. But, you know, when it gets below freezing.
You skipped a month there.
Yeah, we did. We just skipped a month, and it's really hard to take. And the other thing is, you know, living in a barn like I do. I'm hearing the cha-ching, cha-ching every time the heater goes on. You know.
Yeah, sharing bed space with a horse and a cow is not easy.
It's not.
Oh, brother.
So you and I had a conversation the other day. We have let's start. Yeah, I'm sorry. We had a conversation too. Let's start right there about what happened in Buffalo, and what that means. Why did that happen? Does it have anything to do with climate variability? You pointed out to me the other day that this happened before. It's just nobody noticed it.
Yeah, there was another 3 to 4 or even 5 day lake effect event, which occurred back in 2007 on the eastern side of Lake Ontario, in an area called the Tug Hill Plateau, Lewis County, Oswego County. They had about 100 inches of snow, and it was also preceded by a very mild period in October where the lakes had an incredible amount of warmth. This was different because the band set up, and it didn't move, similar to what happened in 2007, but was in a more populated area. Now, you need two things to get lake effect snow. You need either very warm lake levels or an extremely large amount of cold air moving over a certain body of water for a long period of time. In this one, we had more of the latter, where the atmosphere was just incredibly cold, beginning all the way back in September, October, and into November. And because of that, we were actually able to develop this long stretch of cold air across the lakes that dumped all the snow in a, you know, largely populated area. So while I think we look at it as like, oh, my God, this never happened before, it has, it just probably wasn't reported as much. But when you put it into the context of, you know, how global climate change produces regional anomalies such as this, you have to say to yourself, it seems like these regional anomalies are becoming the norm. So typically we talk about weather as being day-to-day events and climate being averages and extremes. The extremes are seemingly becoming more average, and the norms are being pushed further to the cold or to the warm side or to the wet or the dry side. And that seems to be the case not only locally, regionally, but also globally as well. Whether or not we see it or not, it still is happening, Mike.
Yeah. And I like the way you're approaching this to say to people, let's look not so much at the global pattern, because I think you're right. It overwhelms folks.
Yeah, it totally does.
But
yeah.
if we look at regional, you know, almost working backward, here's what's happening locally, which means this is happening regionally. Mm-hmm. And now we can turn that into what happens globally.
Right. Yeah, you can go up to Fairbanks, Alaska in Anchorage and do a seminar on global warming and climate change, and you'll fill the audience or you'll fill the room up with a large audience, because, you know, the last 3 weeks they've had temperatures 10 degrees above average, and they go, you know what, the elk aren't migrating up into the hills like they used to, and they're stepping on my fence and blah, 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 and we got to do something about it. Where the people in the Midwest are going, are you crazy? It's been 10 degrees below normal. I've shoveled my yard, you know, several times, or my, you know, it's stuff like that. So unless you really put it into a context of being able to explain it to people and not just say, here's the red line going up, here's the green line going up, they merge and they marry each other, and it's going to be that way for the next 100 years. And it's not that easy.
Yeah. And so now we have to pay attention to that. And as we pay attention to it more, and it's certainly true with folks who are putting plants in the ground and who have businesses related to horticulture and the horticulture business, as you know, they often moonlight in the winter as snowplowers.
Right. Oh, yeah. And they're doing very well so far.
Well, not in Chicago, though.
Well, no, but hey, northern suburbs got a couple of inches of snow last week, and you know, even if there's a threat for it, people go, you know, that contract I was waiting to sign, I'll sign it right now. So they're doing pretty well. This is good business for them. All they need is, you know, enough salt to go around, and that's another story as well.
Well, it looks like we didn't get the same start this year that we did last year, because if I recall correctly, we got dumped on pretty quickly by a big snow in November, and then we were off to the races and we never looked back.
Right. It basically was the week after Thanksgiving we got hit. The Washington, Illinois tornado, which we had the one-year anniversary this past Monday. Oddly enough, that day that we had that tornado was 69 degrees, and a year later, at that time, it was 9 degrees.
So, wow.
The difference in temperature from one year to the other was amazing. But, yeah, you're right. We were off to the races, and we never looked back.
Yeah. So what are we looking at now? We got warm today, but that's going to change. And are we going to lock into another cold pattern?
Yeah, great questions. The radar right now is pretty quiet over us, but you go from about La Crosse, Wisconsin, all the way down to Lafayette, Louisiana, and it's raining, and copious amounts of rain. Walking around outside, the ground, believe it or not, has actually thawed out quite a bit in the last couple of days. The fear was that we were going to keep the ground kind of frozen, and any rain that would have fallen would have probably produced some localized flooding, but don't think that's going to happen, but still, once that rain starts, probably about the noontime hour, we'll rain probably up until about midnight. Could easily get about an inch and a half to 2 inches, but it's going to come over a long period of time, so not much flooding there. 50s today, low 40s tomorrow, a very windy day, but it turns much colder in the afternoon. Back into the 20s on Tuesday, near 30 on Wednesday, and it looks like our first substantial 1 to 3 inch snow for Thanksgiving morning.
Really?
Yeah, it looks like a white Thanksgiving, right? We've turned the tides, and instead of having a Black Friday, we'll have a White Friday. How about that? I like that.
Yeah, and maybe it'll encourage people to stay home.
I'm so sick of these Black Friday sales. They're sort of week ahead of time.
I'm telling you, what was the, we came up with a slogan last week. It is Black Ball Black Friday.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. I like the weather side of it. White Friday. I like
white.
That.
Well, you know,
have a White Friday.
I have a White Friday. Stay home and build a snowman. You know, that kind of thing. I'm not sure that how many people are interested in that, but
no, I don't think so. But Mike, yeah, I know you alluded earlier to the talk that we'll be giving together in January. I'm looking forward to that and talking more about the things that we were just mentioning about climate change, climate variability, and fitting it into the local, regional, and global perspective. I think that's what people need to know.
And that will be our goal. Well, it's always great talking to you, Rick. You have a great week. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
And have a happy Thanksgiving, Mike.
Oh, that's right. Forgot. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Enjoy the holiday.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, I almost forgot to wish him happy Thanksgiving. I forget that because it's on Thursday. All right. Second hour, back to Ileana. Frozen Robins, too. I'll give you an idea where we're going to be performing this holiday season. Stick around.
Welcome to the second hour of the Mike Novak Show, the country's best deep green gardening and environment program, heard every week and broadcast from the studios of WCPT, AM and FM in Chicago. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is sponsored by Locally Laid Egg Company, because local chicks are better. Go to locallylaid.com. And by Attack of the Killer Asparagus, the funniest book about gardening you will ever read. Go to aroundtheblockpress.com. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Well, if that doesn't get you rolling, nothing will. Welcome back. I notice Annie Haven out in California, and you can find her information if you're on Twitter. Her handle is @greensoil, and her website is www.manuretea.com. I want to tell you, Annie, I'm preparing a little of your manure tea right now. Not exactly right here in the studio, but at home in my big 5-gallon container. In fact,
I brought in, what happened is I, when it was still warm, which seems like a century ago, before everything froze, I had a couple of big 5-gallon containers I got filled with rainwater. And I thought, well, I'm not just going to spill them out. This is great stuff. It's distilled water. But the other thing, there was a little bit of, you know, leaves and dirt and stuff. I thought, wow, we got some biology going here. So I brought it into the kitchen. And it's been sitting in the kitchen. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to put some manure tea in there. So I took one of her little manure tea bags. And you drape it over the side and you let it soak. And she's waving to me now. I'm waving at to you, Annie. It's been there for a couple of days. And now I'm going to add it to my plants. And I think they're going to be very happy that I've used the Moo Poo tea. And you know what? You know, you want a great practical gift for the holidays? That would be one of the great practical gifts for the holidays. Of course, the other would be attack. Wait, no, I don't want to say it. We'll let Captain Picard say it.
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
Written by yours truly. I'm telling you, great holiday gift. Go to aroundtheblockpress.com. You know, if you're at a loss, you don't know exactly what to give somebody, you got a friend. They don't even have to be a gardener. A lot of people read my column, don't even garden. So there you go. The other person I want to give a shout out to is Alan Shannon. Now, I don't know if he's actually listening to the show. I know he posted on the Facebook page. And as I mentioned, he's from the USDA Midwest Food and Nutrition Service. He's the Director of Public Affairs. I hope you're listening, Alan. We gave you Veronica Porter and I gave you a shout out earlier on. As I mentioned in the first hour, and as I have talked about on this show for quite some time, I mean, because these issues, the way these issues work, you can't just do it once. Often, you know, you have to revisit them, come back, talk about them over and over again so that it sinks in, so people understand that this is really a deal. And to start the conversation, I'm going to go to line 3 and bring in Erica Dott. Erica, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Erica's with the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club, and you are covering this issue, which is the Illiana Tollway. And some people, I don't know why they keep calling it the expressway. I have claimed for a while that I think it's marketing. It's, you know, the smart, that's how you do it. You frame it in your terms. So call it the expressway, and it sounds like it's free. It's just nice, free, and clear.
Yeah.
But it's total marketing. You got to call it the tollway because that's what it is. First of all, it's going to cost money to be on it. Second of all, it's going to cost Illinois taxpayers a lot of money that they're probably never going to see again. And third, it's really going to cost the environment a lot. Would you agree with those statements?
Yes. That's right. You know, projections right now by IDOT is $1.1 billion of what the taxpayers will be on the hook for.
Yeah. What did you say, 1.2?
1.1.
1.1. Yeah, some people say 1.2. Hey, you know, what's $100 million among friends?
Yes. And we've also, I mean, unpacking that a little bit more, we can see that it's very possible that it'll be a lot more than that over time.
But. Well, you know, that's a really good point, Erica, because that's the way these things tend to go. You start with one figure, and then suddenly it balloons. And then you're on the hook. And in this case, it's the taxpayers that are going to be on the hook for this thing. Because I know that they've been looking for a partner to be involved in this, but that hasn't really happened, has it?
No, and we know that no private investor is willing to take this risk without it being this private-public venture in which the public is assuming all of the risks. So any flagging revenue, toll revenue that does not come through, the taxpayers will be paying for that. So yeah, we're still looking. They're still looking for an investor, but it's a pretty good deal for them, and it won't be a very good deal for the taxpayers.
Yeah, why not? You know, why put the businesses on the hook when you can? When you can just give it to the taxpayers and they'll handle it. Now, one of the things that happened, and I've been following this, and it's almost like a soap opera with the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, or CMAP. And this is the agency that's come up with this Go to 2040 plan. And the idea is there's going to be regional planning. The idea is that let's do it smart. Unlike what we've done in the past, let's all sit down and we say regional. You know, we're including Indiana and Illinois and various agencies. And saying, hey, we need to do this smarter. Let's make sure that it's financially feasible, that it doesn't harm the environment, that it's efficient, that we plan efficiently so people can move back and forth efficiently. And last year, CMAP voted against their board. The board of CMAP, let me put it that way, voted against the Ileana Tollway. But then their policy committee came back and said, no, we want it. And then this year they came back and did another vote, another two votes, because I was there on the 8th and 9th of October at CMAP for those votes. In fact, I testified on Thursday in front of the MPO policy committee and said, this is really a bad idea. In fact, the point of my testimony was, by voting to fund Ileana, you're hurting the integrity of CMAP. You're undermining the integrity of CMAP. That was pretty much my statement, because I don't live down there. But I think that the idea is we're either going to have a planning organization or we're not. And if politicians and money people can come in and IDOT can come in and say, well, hey, thanks for voting that, but we're going to run this through anyway. What's the point of planning at all? So personally, I likened it on my website this morning to CMAP punching itself in the face. It just seems like there's this internal struggle going on. So they went. They voted the same way again. The board voted against it, and the policy committee voted for it, which sort of leaves it in not exactly limbo, but it's a little confusing at the moment, isn't it, Erica?
Yes, I think a lot of people are confused on who has the ultimate say at this point. And that's what Sierra Club and Openlands has a lawsuit with the ELPC, and that's exactly what we are going after them about, because the CMAP board was instituted to help make good regional planning decisions for the northeastern Illinois region. When we see the MPO committee bypassing this legal process and inserting the Ileana Toll Road into the plan over the board's decision, then there's this huge confusion and uprooting of the whole process. And it's just a very, and I think that a lot of people don't, it's easy to see how quickly they'll put this into the plan and not even consider what the board is saying. And
yeah,
you're absolutely right about that.
And it makes people cynical, is what it does. They think, well, you know, the money players are going to get their way. It always seems to happen that way, and that's what makes people cynical. I mean, I'm thinking the same way about, and it's a completely different issue, and different set of organizations and circumstances. But the Lucas Museum on the lakefront. Okay, this lakefront is ours. It's okay. Let me put it this way: it's mine. I am a citizen of the city of Chicago. I was sold the idea that the lakefront would remain clear and open, and we're going to clutter it with something here. We have enough clutter on the lakefront. Time to just leave it alone and move that someplace else. But a lot of people say, it's going to happen anyway, because the people with the money and the influence are going to ram it through, and then we'll have yet one more exception to the ordinance that prohibits that kind of building on the lakefront. In this case, it's CMAP, say, you know, a policy that with, you know, the board coming together and doing studies on it and taking their time doing it well and coming up with the idea, no, this is not a good idea, so we're going to vote against it. And then their policy committee saying, no, we're not. I mean, we are. We want to do this. So it's not a good thing. So that is Erica Dott, who is from the Sierra Club of Illinois. I want to bring in right now Judy Ogala, who is a board member of Will County. Judy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Mike?
I'm great. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great, thanks.
And I really appreciate you being on the show. And one of the reasons I want to have you here, and in a second I'm going to have Simmerton Mayor Eli Geis as well. When I was at that hearing on the 9th and doing my testimony, here's the way it lined up. And I realized that the people who volunteered to testify are not a scientific sample. I get that. It's like whoever's there, whoever's available, who can be there. And you had the people against Ileana were all environmental groups and individuals. And then you had the people for Ileana, and they were, and it was interesting because the people against it were the people in, not all, to be sure, but a lot of them, you know, with the jeans and flannel shirts. And then the suits and ties came up, and they were the ones who said that they wanted the Ileana to go through. And a lot of them were officials. In fact, one of them, I'm not sure if she was a mayor, I forget who it was, actually said jobs, jobs, jobs. And I almost did a spit take with my coffee. All right. So you got the idea that all of the officials are for it, and it's just the common folk that are against it. But your standard just kind of gives the lie to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, because I strongly believe and ran for office for the point of representing my constituents, not representing any like labor union or other joining in with the rest of the politicians. Like I had recently heard from a county board chair that, you know, now you've been on the board for 2 years, now you see it's not just your small area anymore, it's the bigger picture. And I thought to myself, I understand what he's saying to me, but the point is that statement makes it so bad because people get on an elected position and they forget where they came from, they forget why they ran. And so my purpose is to make sure that I stay close to the people and understand the issues. I'm a farmer out in the area, and I understand what it's like, and it's really bad when big government comes in and says this is going to happen. Good or bad, we're taking that stance because, like you said, they say jobs, 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 when in reality we have plenty of roads and bridges that need repair today that they could put guys to work on.
You make so many good points there. It's very difficult. And by the way, if folks are interested in commenting on all of this, join the conversation. 773-763-9278 is our telephone number. 773-763-9278. We're talking to Judy Ogala, who's a Will County board member from District 1. You said a couple of things that are important. And one is something that sticks in my craw all the time. And I'm so glad you said it, which is, people get elected and then they seem to forget where they came from. And I think the average voter, the average citizen who votes and then watches their representatives turn against their issues, turn against them and their issues, wonder, how did that person come up with that idea? Have they been corrupted? Are people dropping bundles of cash in their laps? How does this happen? And you're still, I assume you still work on your farm, Judy?
Right. We have a working grain farm. We grow corn and soybeans and oats and wheat and hay.
So what are you hearing from the folks that you farm with?
The residents in District 1 and also District 6, which is parts of Will County that this proposed tollway would go through, are opposed to it because they don't want it, and they don't want something. They feel that it's going from, they call it a road to nowhere because it's going from I-55 in Illinois to I-65 in Indiana. And the only thing just in between is all rural land. And a lot of my farmers oppose it too. Not only would their land be subject, but just transporting your grain when you go into harvest or plant, would have to drive so many extra miles just to get to your field because so many roads would be closed, that would be north-south roads because of this proposed toll road.
And I've heard some people liken it to the Berlin Wall. And I know what that's like because anybody, when I grew up in the Detroit area, when I was 14, my family had to move because of an interchange being built. And, you go back to there and it cuts the city in half. And the same thing can happen out in the country, can't it?
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. And, you know, it's bad when it happens in a urban area. In a rural area, it has a whole different impact because so many residents live there for generations. And they might live in this small town or out in the country or that small town. So they easily travel amongst these small communities. And when you put that, a road such as Virginia Hammond, she's the president of Noe Eliana Frost, she always calls it the Berlin Wall effect. It truly would be because how everyone travels out there right now would completely change.
Now, the argument's being made that this is going to be a business driver, this is the way to go. We have to modernize, and the traffic on I-80 is just horrible, and the truckers are looking forward to us. But studies show that there will not be very much traffic on it, that in fact, it's going to be a ghost highway. Is that what you're hearing as well?
That's exactly what I'm hearing, and it makes sense because, you know, being on the county board, I go to Joliet all the time for my county board issues and meetings, and the congestion is all up north in those areas. And for to someone to think that people are going to drive miles south out of their way to get on a toll road, which would be the highest tolls. I mean, they were just talking about the O'Hare-Elgin extension being the highest so far at 21 cents a mile. Well, it's projected that the tolls would be 37 cents a mile for the Eliana.
37 cents a mile, okay.
Right. So to think that somebody, whether you're a regular person wanting to travel or a trucker, would get on and pay that when they could simply use the roads that exist today doesn't make sense. Plus, they're going so far south out of their way to do that. I believe that the road will not be used.
That is Judy Ogala, who's a Will County board member from District 1. Let's go to Eli Geis, who is the mayor of Simmerton, which is kind of right in that path. Isn't that right, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, you're right.
I'm looking at a map right now, and I got a feeling that you're like ground zero for this thing.
Yep. It's going to be about 200 yards away from our village here, so it's going to affect us quite a bit, you know, and I think whoever wants it is nuts. I mean, who wants to live next to something like that?
But wait a second. Don't people in villages like yours say, hey, this is our chance to step up to the big time?
some villages, yeah, I would say that, but not our village. No, we're against it.
Would you have access to it? Would there be an interchange anywhere near you?
Yeah, about a mile west of here.
So you don't think that it's going to attract all kinds of businesses to your town?
I hope not.
Well, you know, see, when I say things like that, I think some people think I'm crazy, which is to say, you know, some of us like it the way it is. Some of us like it when it's quiet. Some of us want to be near the Madewin National Tallgrass Prairie where they're doing all this restoration and we're going to have all these wonderful creatures come in and take advantage of it. And it's going to be beautiful and quiet. Some of us like that. Some of us really don't want to change that. I take it you're one of those people.
That's right. Yeah, they said they spent $35 million just to study this thing. Think about the roads they could have fixed or the bridges they could have fixed. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're getting at because that was the second item that board member Judy Ogala said that I didn't get back to. And that is, our infrastructure is crumbling, and here we are trying to put this road in that makes absolutely no sense when we could be fixing what's there already and is really dangerous. What's there already is really dangerous.
That's right. They don't, you know, we don't take care of the roads we have, and then they want to build this tollway. You know, nightmare.
Nightmare scenario. Okay, so that brings us, and I guess, Erica, we can bring you back into the conversation here. Erica Dodd from Illinois Sierra Club. Well, we just had an election, and elections have consequences, as you know. Governor Pat Quinn was, as they say, hot to trot on this issue and wanted to get it done. And now we're in the lame duck session. Do you see him maneuvering to try to get it done during the lame duck session? And then, of course, after that, if that does not happen, where does Governor-elect Bruce Rauner stand on this? I know there's a very interesting editorial in the Chicago Tribune this week. And you know, and I find it interesting when Cranes and the Tribune are on the same side with Open Lands and Sierra Club. That tells you something, doesn't it? So
yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You don't see that a whole lot. And they're all against it. They all say, this is crazy. This is madness. Do you see anything happening in the veto session? And after that, where does Rauner stand on this?
Well, we just got back, a big group of us just went down to veto session this past week, and we had longtime farmers in the area. Judy Ogala came down. We even had someone from trucking interests, David Dodd, who's saying the truckers won't be using this road. And we had Lauren Schaub, who is part of the Madewin National Tallgrass Prairie. And
yeah, he's been on the show before. Yeah.
And we were able to speak with some legislators and get our feet a little bit wet and feeling what's happening now. It doesn't appear, I mean, we never know, but it doesn't appear as though anything is going to be pushed through right now. We've been talking with legislators. There have been plenty who said yes to this project that are starting to see that these numbers, especially the taxpayer burden, which is the most convincing factor for legislators right now, is not going to be in the benefit for residents of Illinois. So what we imagine is that this is going to be reemerging again. And with Bruce Rauner, we are not exactly sure where he stands. He is, I believe, needing to get better educated on it. He is, he thinks it could be good for the region, but he's concerned for the taxpayer burden that it could be. So that's the climate that we've picked up on with him.
Yeah, I would describe him as a blank slate at the moment. There just seems to be nothing that you can read in the tea leaves.
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah. So that means that what is the process in the General Assembly that this has to go through at the moment?
Judy O'Gallan might be able to answer that a little bit better than I. As I understand, we are just looking for a bill that might come through to help fund, give federal funds for this project.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we're looking for before veto. And then I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Well, when you say you're looking for, you expect, or that might be one of the outcomes. It's not that you really want that, right? Because you don't want this built on under any circumstances.
We're looking for that, and that's what we're anticipating. And then anything that might possibly try to change the CMAP process. But we, just looking for various things that could be coming out. And so that's why we, are staying involved in getting people down there and making sure we're ahead of the game on this.
Yeah. Because that's one of the weird things about veto sessions, right? Is that this thing can come up at, 9 a.m. on Monday and it's done by 1 p.m. and suddenly it's like, wow, how did that happen? And then you got a governor who's leaving office and his legacy would be the Ileana Tollway. Judy, what do you hear? Do you hear anything about this? And I'm interested in the viewpoints. Are you really in the minority here when it comes to board members in Will County and adjoining areas?
Yeah, I think a lot of elected officials hate to ever say no to a project because I think it's, you know, progress and things like that. As far as the county board goes, you know, the interesting thing is they don't really talk about who supports it or doesn't support it. They just have us pass, like, a legislative agenda, which includes it, that they want to be part of the conversation. What I find is that a lot of elected officials support projects without really knowing much about them. And they find that, you know, disturbing because if it's a big project like this, whether it impacts your constituents or not, it impacts all the taxpayers in Illinois, and you really should get involved, find out about it before you say yes or before you agree to go along with the rest. So it's kind of sad that seems to be, and that's why people are disenchanted with their elected officials. Down across the path of it, the townships, the road districts and the townships, the rural townships, you know, they mainly are opposed to it, and the people on those boards are. A couple communities think that, you know, they're going to have an interchange off and they might be able to grow their community. But my question is, who is going to get off of a toll road to stop for a burger in a small town of Beecher when you could stay on and drive another, what, maybe 15 miles and get off at I-65 in Indiana and find somewhere to eat and not have to pay a toll to get on or off at I-65? So that's why I don't believe it would happen.
You know, I hadn't thought of that, but you're absolutely right. I mean, I've driven on toll roads, and you know how what the mindset is. You don't want to pay 80 cents to get off and get back on. I mean, and it's crazy, you know, when you think about it. But people don't do that. It's because they go, oh no, I don't want to pay. I'm going to have to pay, and then I'll have to pay to get back on, and then I can just, as you said, go down the road. So I would imagine. Mayor Geis, that's what you're thinking as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, people aren't going to be interested. You know, I highly doubt that tollway's even going to be used. Who's going to pay all that money to go on it?
Well, that seems to be what the studies show, is that people don't want to use it and that they
right.
won't. What are you hearing from other mayors in the area? Do you hobnob with your fellow mayors?
From what I hear is they're falling in line. I'll just say that.
Oh, so you're the troublemaker there, huh?
Yep.
That's so. Yep. Well, how do you deal with that? Let me ask you that. How do you deal with that when they say, "Hey, no, this is going to bring jobs, and we need this to happen right now."
Well, I just have to look out for the best interests of this village. I mean, that's what I'm here for.
And I assume that your citizens of your village are on board with you.
That's right.
Well, that's good. I mean, yep. I'm glad to hear that. Before I let you all go, one other thing that's sort of the 800-pound gorilla in the room is the Piatone Airport. Oh, okay. See, I think I hit a nerve there, didn't I? So I've always thought that this was just a way to get that done, because then they can say, well, see, we got the road. Let's build the airport. Judy Ogala, is that how you see it, too?
I do see that to a certain extent, that they would be covering it up as, you know, truck traffic to get the traffic out of the Elwood area from the intermodals over to Indiana to cross to, you know, bypass Chicago. And then because there is no other infrastructure right out there for the Piatone Airport. That project's been going on so long. I think that's a clear indicator that it's not financially feasible, because if it was, the airport would have been built a long time ago. So again, this, they did, just like with the Atlanta, they put together a P3 private public partnership to try and get investors to the airport. And the whole thing is, you know, I hear the argument, well, government, you know, taxpayers pay for everything. The difference in taxes for a P3 going versus building a regular road. Regular road taxes pay for an expressway and people drive on it. But with the P3 for the Ileana or even the airport, the way they have the legislation is such that the private investor bears no risk. The state will make sure to cover any shortfalls that the investor would maybe have. So it's quite a different issue, and I believe the airlines have continuously said if PSP airport's not needed, they're not going to use it. Yet they just keep pushing it. It's with the claim of jobs, and that relates to votes out of the Chicago South Side, Cook County area, suburbs that are expecting those people to get those jobs. And that's a fallacy as well. Those people there's no guarantee that anyone would get a job there.
Yeah, it sounds like the Keystone XL boondoggle as well, that there's the promise that there are going to be all these jobs, and pretty much there will not be permanent jobs. There might be some part-time jobs, and then those go away, and then you're left with the road or the pipeline in that case.
Look at the Mid-America Airport down in the Scuta, Illinois. That opened in 1998. It was supposed to be a reliever for Sanborn International in St. Louis, Missouri. It opened. The government has poured the county and the state of Illinois has put tons of dollars in there to try and draw airlines to fly out of there. And they aren't doing it. You can't always build something and the private industry expect the private industry to use it. They have to watch their bottom line. So if the bottom line doesn't look good, they won't use it. Private investor in this case, if they've got nothing to risk, well, I could see somebody possibly jumping in.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Geis, what's your feeling about Piatone?
It'll probably be like this highway. Talked about it for 50 years. Never happened, I hope.
I like you. I want to come down and visit your town.
Yeah, come on down and visit our town. I'll buy you a drink at the tavern here.
You got it. That's a deal. I'm definitely going to. The next time I go to visit Madewin, and I have to admit that's one of my concerns is, if we're going to do this, why don't we just pave over the whole state, okay? Let's just do that. Let's get it and be done with it.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to put an airport and you're going to put this road, and why did we start to work on Madewin in the first place, just so it could be corrupted and destroyed?
And you're talking about paving over some of the best farmland in the world out here,
I know.
Yeah.
And I do, and it also affects the byproducts are during construction. You're polluting rivers. You're throwing dust in the air. You're just creating all kinds of havoc, and then you permanently scar the land. Why can't we leave stuff alone sometimes? I agree with you, Mayor Geis, let's just move on here. There's nothing to see. There's nothing to see here. Erica, I'm going to leave you with the last word on this.
I think bringing up Madewin and the Centennial farmland and the farmland that's been in that area for such a long time, it's become its own economic driver in that community. And to encroach on all of these beautiful areas that have been put forth by the community itself, and to try to go in and take it over, it's just going to completely change the landscape of the area over time, and take away the things that have been there for centuries at this point.
Well, let's look at it this way, okay? And I'm just talking about Madewin, but Madewin is going to be adversely affected by this. And I know that there are other sensitive areas there, and a lot of the conservation environmental groups would say, hey, you're forgetting such and such and such. Okay, I get that. But here's, we took, and this was not even 20 years ago, 19,000 acres of what was the Joliet arsenal, okay, the war machine. We said, okay, we're going to take what was the war machine here, and we're going to turn it back into prairie. We're the prairie state, and we have 1%, less than 1% of prairie left in the prairie state. So here's a chance to get 19,000 acres. I think it's the biggest tallgrass prairie project in the world, right?
It is, and it's the only federally protected prairie that we have. It's rarer than the rarest rainforest. This is something worth protecting.
And so people have been working on it now for 17 years, okay, to get this done. And it's still a long, long way to go. And what's amazing is that you got people volunteering out there and they're putting down seed knowing that they will never see their work come to fruition, that they will be long dead before mm-hmm. this is the way it used to be 150 years ago. And it's that kind of determination. You know, it's like when you plant a tree. You go, I don't know if I'm going to be around to see that mature. Same thing with the tall grass prairie. So here we go. We take the war machine and we say, no, we're going to plow it under, turn, swords into plowshares, literally. And 17 years later, we say, I'll tell you what, let's just pave it over or put this thing. Let's destroy this habitat and the system we've set up and all the hard work we've put into it. Let's mitigate that. Let's hurt it. I'm not finding the right words here, and I'm sorry for being so inarticulate. But that doesn't make any sense to me. So it's.
I absolutely agree. I think we're encroaching even more on this very rare and pristine habitat, and it's just going to continue. That mentality is going to continue to pull through. And they're going to introduce bison to the area. That's amazing. And we think that this area is going to become an ecotourism destination.
Yeah.
There's a lot of projects that are ongoing that will maintain themselves, that have had a lot of work and thought from the community and from the region put into them. And, you know, we want to protect what's there. And, you know, we keep saying that the only way for progress is not to build a road. There are so many other ongoing things that spell progress for the region.
Right. I think it's a really good point that in this case, progress as a species, as citizens, as good stewards of this planet, progress is not to build this road. I think that's a good way to end it. Erica Dodd from Illinois Sierra Club, Judy Agala, Will County board member, and Eli Geis, mayor of Simmerton. And Eli, I'm coming down there to have a beer with you.
Sounds good.
Thank you all for being on the show this morning, and keep up the fight.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Great to have those folks on board. And I hope that if you're listening and you are concerned, you will get involved and you call your legislator, you call your senator. That's how that works. It's not that hard. And I hope you do it.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I've got great news about Natural Awakening Chicago. We're now available throughout the city and suburbs, from Lake County to the Indiana state line. So if your sustainable business is anywhere in Lake or Cook County, we want you to be part of our magazine. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakenings than any other magazine to help lead happier, healthier, and greener lives. If you own a green business or offer healthy living or wellness products and services, you should be working with our marketing team to get your message out to our targeted audience. Natural Awakenings is distributed in more than 1,000 Chicagoland locations, and our readers are looking for products and services just like yours. Join us, won't you? We're online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
This is Mike Novak. Enjoy local food all winter long at Winter Farmers Markets, hosted by 15 different Chicago faith congregations on select Saturdays and Sundays from November through March. Your purchase of local sustainably produced food helps support regional farmers. The markets are organized by Faith in Place, a nonprofit that inspires people of diverse faiths to care for the earth through connection, education, and advocacy. Go to faithinplace.org and click on Winter Farmers Markets for a schedule and to learn more. And then your friendly announcer says, when it comes to egg production, the folks at Locally Laid Egg Company believe chickens should be able to engage in their instinctive behaviors like dust bathing, roosting, and feeling the wind in their wings, all of which they enjoy on fresh pastures. Locally Laid uses non-GMO corn in its feed and plants a tree with every delivery. You gotta love that, folks. You can get Locally Laid at Garden Fresh Market, Strack and Van Til, where I got locally laid the other week, going back to get some more, and Harvest Time Foods. And don't forget, tell me where you got locally laid, and I'll put your name in a commercial. I mean it. Just tell me where you got them, and I'll add you to the commercial. For a full list of Chicagoland retailers, visit locallylaid.com. Locally laid because local chicks are better.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com. I get no doubt.
Now, I bet that's a song you like, Helen. That's got to be up your alley there.
I think you would lose that bet.
Really? That's not a song for you, huh?
Maybe when I was like 12.
Oh, come on. Really? Okay, you rough.
It's like you don't know me at all, Mike.
I know. I've known all this time, all these like 2 months, and I just don't know you at all. Call pouring in. You can grab that. Earlier in the show, and by the way, I noticed on Twitter, somebody's tweeting about something to wash down those cricket cookies. Moo Poo Tea? I'm not exactly sure what that means. Is that code? So anyway, earlier in the program, I mentioned that, we're going to be, the Frozen Robins are back. They're back. And, that's my caroling group. And occasionally I have people say to me, you have a caroling group? What's that all about? Well, you know, just different sides of my life. Not everybody, does the same thing all the time. You know, I do different things. I like to play softball. I like to carol, Christmas carol. I mean, it's the only, I gotta tell you, it's one of the few things that saves the holiday for me. If we could do Thanksgiving carols, I would be all over it. That'd be great. So, each year, my group goes out to various locations and we do our thing. We put on our top hats and our Dickensian garb and we sing things for folks. We know a lot of songs. It's a cappella, four-part harmony. And one of the, there are two really, really great events that I'm very proud to be part of again this year. And one is Illumination at the Morton Arboretum, which started yesterday, the 21st of November. They started a little earlier this week, or this year, rather. Basically, they have an interactive light show at the Arb. And you go there, and if you hug a tree, it lights up. It gets happy. That's a way to hug a tree, to have it respond. And we're going to be there various days this season, 8 all told. And I hope that some of you will come out to what is a really great event. Even when it's cold, especially when it's snowing. When it's snowing, it's really cool. In fact, there's a photograph on my website, MikeNovak.net, of the Frozen Robins there. On this week's show, and we're in the snow. It's snowing, and the lights are behind us, and you get a sense of what it looks like. It's very, very cool. So we're going to be there on Friday, November 28th, Saturday, November 29th. Those are the two. That's a Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving. That's this coming Friday and Saturday.
28th and 29th. We start about 5 and we finish about 8 p.m. And we wander the grounds, so you're not always going to see us there. And it's a big area, so you might catch us and you might not. But you can look for us and track us down. It's not that hard. Just listen for the warbling. And we'll be there that Friday and Saturday. Then again on December 13th, which is a Saturday, December 19th, December 20th, December 23rd, Christmas Eve, and then the day after Christmas, December 26th and December 27th. Stop by. I've got the link to Illumination there on the website, and you can figure out how to be part of that and show up at it. Then the other thing that we're going to be part of this Saturday morning, November 29th, at the Chicago Botanic Garden, is the Wonderland Express. And that's a really cool deal, if you've never been there. That one's indoors. And it's the trains that they've set up. They've got these miniature trains with reproductions of so many different Chicago landmarks, architectural landmarks, like the Baha'i Temple. They have a miniature Baha'i Temple. They have a miniature Soldier Field. I think they have the old Soldier Field, the real Soldier Field, not the one with the spaceship on top of it. I think that's, if I remember correctly, I'm going to have to check on it when I go this Saturday. And Wrigley Field and the Wrigley Building and I believe Trip Tower and all kinds of different things from the Chicago area that the trains run around. And they make it snow indoors. And it's pretty cool because it's I believe it's the same technology that was used in It's a Wonderful Life when they made that snow back in 1947 when they made that. Speaking of which, we will be doing, and Helen, you need to know this, we're doing my 10-minute version of It's a Wonderful Life again this year, and you're going to have to play a role.
Goody.
All right? You're up for that.
I can't wait.
I don't know you at all. you're going to have to be part of it. I think I'm going to get Mr. Kyle Gill back here. Rob Carthall wants to play Martini again. We'll see if we can get Robbie Earhart in here to do it. Maybe Lisa will be back and Sarah, the whole crew. I think Denny will be back, too. We got to get Denny in here. And we'll all be part of the 10-minute version of It's a Wonderful Life. You know, we should do it live sometime. I should just make them come in here on the 21st of December, but I know I couldn't get everybody here. I just know it wouldn't happen. That's going to happen. So anyway, Wonderland Express is also going on starting Friday. It's from November 28th to January 5th. 10 to 6 is when they do that. Illumination, I want to make sure, is from started yesterday and goes through January 3rd, which is a Saturday. You've got plenty of time to see both of those, and we will be at Wonderland Express this Saturday morning from 10 to noon, the Frozen Robins will be. And finally, I got roped into this by one of the guys at the Frozen Robins, which is, he said, hey, they're looking for a caroling group for Chicago Fire, the TV show. And so we, after much negotiation that involved very little money, went to be extras on the set of Chicago Fire. Now, I don't do extras anymore. I used to, back when I thought I was going to be a movie star, any way to get on camera. I don't do that anymore. But for this, because it was for the group, I said, okay, let's do that. So we did, stood around for, 8 hours, 9 hours, doing our thing and being part of the scenes there. It was actually, we got a photo on the homepage of MikeNovak.net of us on set. We don't show anything, and I can't tell you anything that happens because, like I said, they'll kidnap my cat if I do that and bring me down. They'll take me down. But it's likely that the Frozen Robins will be on Chicago Fire on December 2nd. The episode is called, are you ready for this? Santa Bites. as I said, Santa Bites. I didn't name it. And I would never say that about Santa. But actually, it's a noun, bites, not a verb. It's a treat, a Santa bite. It has to do with the plot. So I can't tell you any more than that. But I know we may be on camera for all of a second and a half. So don't blink, because you'll definitely miss us. I have no idea. That's the way these things work. You do that and you can show up. You can be there for 10 days. You could, you know, be there for 30 seconds and you might be on camera and you might not. And you just kind of go, huh? Oh, well, that happened or not. So that's December 2nd. So if you see a guy with a top hat and gray hair, that's me. Or a top hat and dark hair, that's Dan. Or a couple of gals in Dickensian costumes, that is, that would be Karen and Mary. And I was standing next to Santa, so I might be on camera. All right, before we get out of here, let's go back to the phones. It's always, I always hold my breath when Amtrak Tim calls. How you doing, Tim?
Doing good, Mike. I just was a little taken aback when you were talking about Midwood as being a pristine environment. Have you looked at a map recently?
Well, no. It's going to be. All right, that's the whole point. They're turning it into that. They're turning it into prairie. Yeah, it was the Joliet Arsenal. It was like bomb shelters and next to that, farms doing traditional kinds of farming. The goal is to turn it. And if I didn't make myself clear, I apologize. But that is the goal.
The reason I say that is if you look at a map from the Forest Service, there are huge areas that you're not supposed to go off trail because of huge amounts of chemical contamination, specifically TNT.
Well, why do you think they sold it to the state? Why this stuff was given away? Because it has to be remediated. Yeah, it's got to be remediated. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. You're right. It's not pristine now. The goal is to make it that. But it's, you know, it's already underway, and some of that is happening.
Yeah, I've been out there. It's taken a while. It was kind of neat seeing the places where they actually unload. You still could see places where they unloaded loaded up the munitions for World War II. The other thing is, if you ever try to get out there, it's a pain to get out there. It really is a pain.
Hey, you know what? We should build a big tollway. That would make it easy.
Well, I could think I honestly could. What I would like to see is an independent economic study, because I could think of better ways to spend the money as well, to be perfectly honest. I'd like to see more rail, but that's, you know, that goes.
I know you would, and I agree with that. I'm totally on board with you there. I mean, it's interesting. I got to tell you a story. This past week, Kathleen was going to a conference in Boston where she was making a presentation. She had her train ticket all set. Guess where the train goes through? The Buffalo area. That's,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
But did it make it?
No, they canceled. They called the day she was going to leave, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and said, your train's been canceled. And there we were scrambling to try to find a way to get her to Boston, you know, at the last second when everything costs more money. It was not good, but obviously it was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of deal. Well, as Rick DeMaio pointed out earlier, twice-in-a-lifetime kind of deal.
Well, a more frequently coming deal.
More frequently, yeah. So there you go. All right, I got to let you go. I got to take care of some business. Thanks for calling in, Tim.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Captain's log, Stardate 42326.1. The Enterprise is under attack by an apparently hostile life form. Mr. Worf, status report.
Inexplicable, Captain. They appear to be perambulating vegetables. We are being stalked by stalks of asparagus.
That is incorrect, Mr. Worf. Asparagus officinalis, or killer asparagus, was the subject of a very popular 21st century tome by the brilliant author Mike Novak.
Mike Novak, I'm familiar with his work.
Mike Novak was one of the smartest, funniest people in the horticultural world of the 21st century.
Sound red alert. Shields up. Tell me more, Mr. Data.
He has been variously compared to Mark Twain, Dave Barry, and Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe, author of my favorite children's stories.
Captain, I am attempting to access a copy of the masterpiece. It seems to be available online at aroundtheblockpress.com.
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 Yes, Mr. Watt.
Yes, Cat. Aroundtheblockpress.com.
How many times can I say it?
I have no idea. But did I mention that it makes a great holiday gift? Have I mentioned that at all, Helen?
I'm not sure. You might have mentioned
it. Yeah, yeah. Go to aroundtheblockpress.com. Yes, aroundtheblockpress.com.
And you don't have to buy it on Thanksgiving night.
Don't buy it on Black Friday. Don't buy it on Thanksgiving. Don't buy it on that, whatever that stupid Saturday thing is they call it. And don't buy it on Cyber Monday. Well, I guess it's Small Business Saturday, whatever. All right. That's it. And I want to thank, Tim. You did bring up a really good point. Yeah, they're working. They're fixing that thing. And it'll be better in the future at Medewin. Go green or
go home.